You're listening to Our Faith, Our Country, the podcast that discusses walking with Christ and ties faith to America's foundation. Here's your host, Jason Bryant Jennings.
Proverbs 24:28. Do not testify against your neighbor without cause. Would you use your lips to mislead? The connection here, of course, is Sixth Amendment, dealing with fair trial with witnesses. Stevie Giorno serves as chair of the Tennessee Young Republicans, and his story at Belmont University is the subject of the new book, Outcast, How the Radical Left Tried to Destroy a Young Conservative. And he joins me now. Stevie Giorno, welcome to Our Faith, Our Country.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
It's good to have you here. Go back and listen to the previous podcast, because we actually had Stevie's mom on the podcast. So go back, listen to what she had to say, and especially her advice to parents and students looking to go to college. I know faith is obviously something that's been very important in your family. It is to you. Before we get into the specifics of what happened at Belmont, how did your faith get you through what had to have been an incredibly tough time for you?
Well, absolutely. It was a very, very hard time, but I was very thankful that God put me in that position to be tested, because I believe that's what God does to all of us. He tests us in different ways to make sure we're able to do what he wants us to do and to stand up for what we know to be right. And so, of course, it was a very difficult time. However, I knew that this was happening for a reason. Every hardship that we all go through, God plans it for a reason. And he gives us the ability to stand up for what we believe in and do what we know to be right. And so I'm very grateful for that opportunity that he gave me. But also, my faith has been very important to me. It's the reason why I chose to go to a Christian university like Belmont. You know, I thought Belmont was different. Unfortunately, it wasn't. However, the reason I went there was because I wanted to make sure that I went to a Christian school that would have continued to push me further in my faith in the Lord. And unfortunately, it just didn't work out the way we had initially planned to, but I'm very thankful that I went there and was able to give it my best and go through what I went through.
Walk us through that initial post in front of the White House, through just everything that happened following that.
I was the student body president. I was elected in January of 2020 unanimously. I was unopposed, and I was endorsed by the college Democrats and the college Republicans. Being the student body president is not a political job, and it never should be a political job. And unfortunately, it now is post-2020. But I had been in student government for a year before I was elected, and we got along with everyone. People were very responsive to the ideas we had on both sides of the political aisle. Of course, COVID happened in March and April, so we went on spring break and we never came back. On the 4th of July in 2020, while BLM is burning down cities and rioting, on the 4th, I posted a picture of me in front of the White House with the caption that I was proud to be an American, and I thanked our forefathers for our freedoms they gave us on this day in 1776. Within one day, there was a change.org petition made set up to impeach me, saying I was celebrating a covertly racist holiday. My fraternity brothers said if I didn't take that picture down where I said I was a proud American and post an endorsement of the BLM organization, they were going to do whatever it took to destroy me. And finally, when I was on campus, because of the threats I had received, I had to have a campus security guard with me in order to make sure that I was safe on campus. And it was really unfortunate that within a few months, that it just got worse and worse and worse with no end in sight.
Having gone through that, and especially with fraternity brothers, I was in a fraternity, knowing how that brotherhood works, what was the impact to you mentally having to go through that with your fraternity brothers?
Well, it was extremely unexpected. I never thought that the people who were some of my best friends on campus, who supported me to be student body president, people I hung out with, played board games with, and did all these different things with, I never thought they'd be the ones who would end up going around telling people that I was a racist, evil person because I was celebrating the 4th of July. So it was truly shocking to me. I never expected anything like it. It was a very, very unfortunate time, you know, with all the social media pressure that they were getting from other students. Many of my fraternity brothers were being forced to go along with a very small minority of what students were saying, because that was the acceptable thing to do and because social media was going to make them do it. And so it was really unfortunate just how so many people bowed down to the social pressure, to where they would do something that they knew was wrong, but they wanted to do it anyways, just so they would not have something similar as to what happened to me happen to them.
Stevie, what's the biggest lesson that you learned through the entire experience?
No one will remember what you did except for you and God. And to not do anything that you'd look back in the mirror and say, man, I wish I handled this differently, or, you know, I'm very disappointed in the choices I made. I'm very fortunate that the decisions I made, I would do again and again and again. I wouldn't have changed anything. I guess the only thing I would have changed is, you know, I posted that picture of me in front of the White House at 8 p.m. that day on the 4th of July. And the only difference I would have done is I would have posted at 8 a.m. so that I could have gotten out there sooner and let people know exactly where I stand and where I stood at the time. So that's the only thing I would have changed. But the biggest thing I learned is that I wanted to make sure that I was able to look in the mirror and say I was proud of what I did, and I wasn't going to back down just because it may have been the politically expedient thing to do or the easiest thing to do in general. And I wanted to stand up for what I believed in, and I'm very proud that I did it and very grateful that my parents supported me with it and told me whatever I wanted to do, they'd have my back. So I was very grateful for that.
The book is out now that your mom wrote, called Outcast: How the Radical Left Tried to Destroy Young Conservative. What takeaway do you want students to have after reading this book?
The biggest takeaway I want people to realize and to understand, especially students, is I would like them to realize that just because there's a lot of pressure on you to do something doesn't mean you have to do it. Especially now, the pressure of needing to bow to the woke mob in every aspect. You know, if you look at sports, if you look at education, if you look at religion especially, there are a lot of people that want people like you and I to change what we believe in because they deem it so, and they want that to happen. But we've got to stand up for what we believe in. And so the biggest takeaway for students, I would love for them to realize that you can go through a lot of hardship, but I believe that it's all a test from God, and that we must stay true to what we believe in and be the change that we want to see. If we want our religion to stay strong, we've got to do difficult things and disagree with the masses like Jesus did to make sure that our religion is correct and not bow down to whatever woke group says we need to change to accommodate them.
Stevie, there's no doubt that you're a strong follower of Christ, that you're a patriot, you love our country. I know you've had the opportunity to work for and with several great Americans, such as Marsha Blackburn. You are, as I mentioned, the chair of the Tennessee Young Republicans. Why should our youth out there look at getting involved with organizations such as the Young Republican organizations and different chapters?
Right now, our country is going through some hardships. I'm in Chicago for the week, and I got gas yesterday, and it was $5.50 per gallon of gas. If we want to live in a country that our parents did and our grandparents did, where we have freedoms, where we have the right to do what we want to do and say what we want to say, it's now or never. We can't rely on other people to vote for us. We can't rely on other people to door knock and to make phone calls and to be involved in the political process. If we want a country by the time we are our parents' age, we need to get involved now, and we can't say, oh, someone else will do it for me. There is no one else who's going to do it for us. There is no tomorrow unless we work for it. And so the biggest thing I would say is we've got to be the change that we want to see in this country, and we cannot rely on other people to do that for us. If we want to live in an America that has freedom and independence, we must get involved now and not rely on other people to do it for us.
Stevie, I've heard that October 12th, Tennessee Young Republicans is hosting an event that will be unmatched. Tell us about the event.
The Tennessee Young Republicans are hosting a presidential town hall where we are inviting the top six candidates running for president of the United States to come and debate in Williamson County, Tennessee, which is about 15, 20 minutes south of Nashville. And it will be the only event like it that's ever happened from the Young Republicans. It's being sponsored by the National Young Republicans. And we're really looking forward to allowing a platform for for the top six candidates to spread their message specifically to a younger audience, a young Republican audience, where the questions will be very specific to issues facing young people more so than any other age demographic. And so it's the only one happening in the country. It's the only young Republican national sponsored event like this. And we're really looking forward to candidates come down to Tennessee and to tell us what they think is best for the issues facing young people throughout this country.
From our candidates that we have right now, what are you personally hoping to hear?
Well, a few things. One, I hope that when it comes to education, they talk about a massive overhaul of the education system, particularly getting the Department of Education out of D.C. at minimum, or perhaps even doing away with it and giving it back to the states. Secondly, got to stop the Biden spending spree because it's causing all this inflation. And then lastly, we've got to go back to being energy independent. These gas prices are ridiculous. Food prices are ridiculous. The electrical costs are ridiculous. It is really critical that we get back to energy independence. We really need to hear what the plan is for the next 10, 15, 20 years. Where do we see our country in that time? I think it's really important that the candidates give us some hope what our course of action is and what direction the ship is going, because I think that's really been lacking. And I think we need to make sure that young people have hope and faith that our country is going to continue to be the country that we're living in, you know, that I've grown up in. Because right now it feels like it's a losing battle at the moment with all the hardships going on.
The book is called Outcast, How the Radical Left Tried to Destroy a Young Conservative. Stevie Giorno, thank you for joining us for this episode of Our Faith, Our Country.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Our Faith, Our Country podcast. Be sure to follow us on all of our social media at Faith Country Pod or by searching for Our Faith, Our Country podcast. Until next time, later times, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Our Faith, Our Country. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode.